Australian Bible Church, a Presbyterian church, focusing Jesus Christ through faith to be received for salvation, the Bible, unqualified truth from God, the celestial composer to man, the fallen creation. Today, we continue the magnificent sequence of spiritual history which God has provided to this earth. This earth, this world, tends to see itself in terms of itself, by itself, measuring itself, as Paul says, by itself, obviously meaningless. And that is what it complains of, meaningless, meaningless. It's worse than meaningless without its meaning, especially when he slain is again a focus for removal from this world, that it might enjoy itself with itself, for itself, by itself, the alone possessor of itself. But into this malodorous mixture has come Jesus Christ, the fragrance of salvation. And as we pursue our sequence, we remember that in Isaiah 42, verse 6, we are told, not only is the gospel, is the Christ, the Messiah, the murdered Son of Man available for believing Jews, but equally well for Gentiles. Thus, 42:6 of Isaiah predicts 700 years before Christ or so, I, the Lord, called you in righteousness. God deals with righteousness, and where you haven't got it, he makes it a gift, as you see in Romans 5:17. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. In Isaiah 49:6, you see a similar sort of statement. Indeed, he says, it's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And so the great, glorious gospel came into the earth like a riot of springtime color and fragrance in the pure mountain airs of celestial truth. But the gospel has come to the Gentiles, as it came at last to the Jews, who contributed by murdering the Messiah, which served as a sacrifice in God's wisdom. We've come to the other end of the gospel stage now in this world. The Jews had it for a couple of thousand years. The revelation of God moving in the midst of for a couple of thousand years. The Gentiles have had it. But now what? Let, once again, the prophets tell us, let the 2 Timothy speak to us in the 2 Timothy 3 and 4. Tell us what God said way back in the days around about when Christ was on earth through Paul a little later. Hear what God says would happen, and it is happening now. It's a sign to the last days. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3, you may care to look it up, we know this, that in the last days, that's where we are, hand up, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters proud, blasphemers disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, how they have rammed that one home, trying to make a universe out of nothing for nothing, and imagining they've said something other than, well, to be frank, in Hosea it says the spiritual man is insane. It is hard to relate it to sane things at all. Nothing produces nothing, and always it will be the same. What you need for production, believe me, is a producer, and his name is God. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, it goes on, rather than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form, a manner, a mode, a kind of godliness. But without its power, a fate, feckless, a form. And from such people, yes, what do you do about it? Turn away. This is not fit companionship for Christians. And these people have turned from what is necessary and pollute the spiritual recreation grounds where Christians are growing. Of this sort who creep are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And listen to this one, verse 7. Always learning. Well, that sounds all right. But not this. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sometimes even people deny there is any truth. Well, in that case, there's no truth in their statement that there's no truth. You can't escape the truth. It is inescapable. And when you turn from it, it lets you down. The substitute, it's only some sort of a sacrifice to idols. Then in just over the page in 2 Timothy 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And it tells us in verse 3, the time will come when they will not, I like this word, endure. You hear people during the war, we will fight them on the beaches, we will endure. And people will not endure. Endure what? Sound doctrine. If it's sound, if it's in the Bible, if it's the teaching of God, it's if the celestial communication to terrestrially sighted man, if that's what it is, they will not endure it. I can't stand this stuff. I don't want any more of that. Why not? Well, if he gave a straight answer, because it shows up my sins. But the fact is, in this time, this latter time, this end of the Gentile couple of thousand years, it's got its predicted situation. The time will come when they will not endure. They will be intolerant. They can't stand it. It's intolerable to them. They've got the disease of the soul. They've got a sort of automatic retching, as if they're about to vomit. I can't stand sound doctrine. That's what has ruined the churches. That's what's taken them during the last 100 years or so. Large, beautiful congregations, huge, huge bodies taken captive and attacking in seminaries the Bible instead of exhibiting its truth. So the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they shall have itching ears. They want to hear something different. They want to go somewhere else. Well, they've done it. They've done it very well. For example, the weakness has in some measure helped these blood-shedding dictators such as Mao and Hitler and Stalin. It has been estimated that in the 20th century, those atheist dictatorships such as that in China and Germany in Hitler, and Stalin, have slaughtered, that's the word in the statement concerning it, 100 in total. People? No. 100,000? No. 100 million people. 2/3 of the current Russian population, you might say. Slaughtered. The words of condemnation are not too strong. So we observe in this time stretch, the Gentile period, starting with this wonderful delight, as we see in Jeremiah, who predicted it, and then moving over a couple of thousand years through various stages, the Roman Catholic situation, where they make Pope the teacher. He can even add doctrines, whereas Christ in Matthew 23:8-10 says, call no man, is he a man? Yes, oh, I see. Well, then call not him, call no man teacher, for one is your teacher, Christ. It's an either-or situation. There's no one beside him that you must worship. There's no one whose power and strength must even resemble or look like that of God. Call no man on earth father, but he is to be the father of the flock. Not so. For one is your father, even God, we are told. And so it has gone on through various regimes and power. Charlemagne, around the 800s, stopped Islam from taking over Europe. There are two sorts of religion. Those which put it to you what God has for you, and those who bring it to you what they have for you, and force it on you, and slaughter, kill, torture, trouble, put you in prison, subject your ears to endless propaganda. Imagine being one of the re-education camps of Mayo and Co. People blasting your ears with propaganda while they humiliate your body in horrid labors. No wonder there is not only a heaven, but a place for people who can't tolerate doctrine, truth, God, who want to have it all for ourselves. There's a place where they can have it all to themselves. Not very savory. But if they won't take and can't take and can't tolerate heaven, well, it's like garbage. You throw it out. But the beauty of it is how often, Matthew 23:37, I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen calls her chickens. Come on, cluck, 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 cluck. But you weren't willing. The appointment to hell is made with the willing consent of the client in the end. And by the mercies of God, again and again he stretches out his hand. He that enters by me, I am the door, shall be saved. That is a fact. Like E equals MC squared as far as we know. It is a fact. If you enter by the door of Christ, Lord and Savior, you will be saved. You will be one of his sheep. You will hear his voice. You will follow him and be delighted to do it. Be delighted to do it. looking further back over the couple of thousand years in the spiritual sequences, at 800, as I was beginning to say, Charlemagne resisted the Mohammedans, who were close to taking over Europe, and they were beaten back. But what Charlemagne had founded began to become an imperial church. You began to get the Pope, who's able to say that he's somewhere between God and man, a Pope that makes himself into an idol. And that went on for something like 1,000 years. Then you got the Mohammedans in the areas of Turkey, the Middle East. They had about 500 years with the Ottoman Empire, ending in 1917 when the British took back Jerusalem. There have been vast movements of communism, Nazism, then the World Council of Churches. It was to bring unity. Yes, you can bring unity with a band of revolutionaries, but there won't be beautiful unity. The World Council of Churches dipped into treachery and traitorous behavior. For example, it began to try to make a new sort of Christianity in which there was liberation and racism and all these things were brought in as a substitute. Liberation theology came in. Then neo-orthodoxy. That means a new kind of orthodoxy. Brought in by Karl Barth, for example, and terribly popular. And what was its idea? Well, you still talk of the virgin birth, you still talk of Christian words, but you give them a new meaning. The virgin birth then comes to mean God is gracious. No virgin, no birth. All this chicanery, treachery, is just what happened back in Israel. The Gentiles are no better. It's all the same. The whole of humanity is exposed in fraud and failure. Not all the Jews, not all the Gentiles have fallen. Oh, no. Over the couple of thousand years, for all I know, there may be millions of Christians who've come. And the prediction is that from the Jews there will be a special appendix. And that is the return of exiled Israel in the latter days to Israel as Israel. That was predicted over and over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. They will come back. They will be dispersed because they killed the Messiah. They will be dispersed because of their sin, but God will not let them go. He will bring them back. Look at Ezekiel 36, for example. Verse 17, Ezekiel 36, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, this their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. Verse 21, but I had concern for my holy name. Therefore, verse 22, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned amongst the nations wherever you went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations. Ezekiel 36:24. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then, please note this Baptistic reference, I will sprinkle clean water on you. The new sign of the covenant, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Then it goes on in Ezekiel 37 to refer to a great parable. He sees bones representing the slain, the slaughtered, the murdered Jews as they went to the various countries and were murdered. Adolf Hitler doing 6.5 million, it is reliably advised, in the Holocaust. For example, that was a height of a process going on for hundreds of years. So in this vision of Ezekiel 37, the prophet sees scattered bones of murdered and dispersed Jews, died abroad. Then suddenly there's a command. The bones assemble. They come back to their land. And then another call. And they're covered with flesh. They become a surging nation. The Jews are brought back. And then when we turn to Isaiah, to Ezekiel 37, verse 23, they shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all the dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people and I will be their God. David, my servant, a reference to the Messiah, the descendant of David in the flesh. David, my servant, will be the king. So this is all connected, and we are looking for the Lord to return. And the next step for the Jews is a mixture of wars and attacks and assaults, and then the return of the Lord himself. And with the Jews back, as Jesus said in Luke 21, with the Jews back in Israel, that means, M-E-A-N-S, that his return is near. The Jews back in Jerusalem, rather. And then he goes on in 38:39 to talk of a huge multinational attack on Israel, that is to come. This is in the days not long after they have returned. There is to be a multinational attack, especially figuring a great nation to the north. Moscow, incidentally, is due north, more or less, of Jerusalem. And so this is to happen. And when God sees this, his people who have been punished long enough, back in their land, these people are going to grab it. The land which we have seen earlier, God gave through Abraham to successive generations of Jews. If God appoints a people to a land for a purpose, who are humans to say, no, the land that you made, you can't do that. He can't do it. So his fury, we are told, arises in his face and he smashes. God himself smashes the invading armies. And so all this is part of the series, military, political, diplomatic, sacrificial, purging by pungent dictators. It is all part of the spiritual sequence. Meanwhile, the power of Christ's resurrection has overshadowed all the death. It's one thing to kill 100 million people. It's another thing to resurrect one life. Because the power to do that is the power to do it more times, so that in that blessed 1 Corinthians 15, we have these ever memorable and beautiful words relating to an even more beautiful fact. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. It's not the sort of thing that comes. Corruption inherits more corruption. But when you come to the kingdom of heaven, corruption does not inherit incorruption. Well, what happens? I tell you a mystery, 51. We shall not all sleep. That is to say, as when Stephen was murdered, it was called sleep when he was killed. But we shall all be changed in a moment. The creation took 6 days, the resurrection in a moment. The power that produced the staggering designs. I look at birds in the book of thousands of designs. I look at the color of the birds. I look at the obvious designs. An artist of eminence has produced a multiplicity, a magnificence of intriguing, delicious designs. They're worked out in detail, aesthetically monumental, magnificently wrought. And not only that, they're given a character. Some birds are small, some are charming, some are lethal, some have bent necks which they can suddenly extend, some are able to soar from one end to the other, covering the earth. But the character, it's like Dickens. You read Dickens and you say, look at all the amazing characters he's presenting. I look at birds and say, look at the thousands of staggeringly beautiful, brilliant designs. What artist can surpass it? In birds, their character, their atmosphere, their look, their behavior, their abilities. It is all amazing. Amazing. That's the power of creation, so the power of resurrection is also amazing. If the universe can be created in 6 days, how readily can the resurrection be exhibited, already achieved, now applied, when the resurrection comes, when Christ returns and the rapture occurs. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, meaning when your current body, which is able to rot, has put on the new body which cannot rot. I love that. It would be great to have a body which is not able to rot. It's of a different sort of thing entirely. And this mortal has put on immortality. I've always seemed to have loved that word. Immortality. You can't die. When your sin is scrubbed out, that's another matter. Then shall be brought to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. By the way, when I was looking at some of the great empires in the past, which God has brought to nothing because, as we saw, the survival of the slickest is more the sort of survival that goes on until God makes a massive judgment. And he made a massive judgment, you see it in the Bible, on the Assyrians, smashed and virtually deleted the Babylonians, smashed the Macedonians, Alexander the Great, divided into bits, smashed the Romans, 410 they fell, 1453 again in Constantinople, smashed. Exposed in the Reformation and the Holy Roman Empire until 1917. Strong and mighty in Europe, filled with its odious mistakes. The USSR, 1917, 1990 roughly. Hitler, 12 years. All those have come and gone. A foretaste of when all this world is judged. And eventually, well, let's hear it from the lips of Jesus. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Verse 36 of Matthew 24, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, unto the day that Noah entered the ark, and didn't know. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken, one will be left. So the movement of God, smashing when the time comes, when what this world has shown to itself and to all the heavenly places, what man is, what he does, where he ends, how well he handles himself, even if you hand the world over to him. He messes it up. He would not be able to endure any longer if Christ didn't come sooner than might have appeared. That's what Christ has said. And so this great gospel goes on to this great, great end. Through all this, the sheer delight of the gospel. There is the other side. There is the place for not amendment, but conversion, regeneration, and rejoicing. Repentance, redemption, restoration, pardon, peace, power, the presence of the Lord. That is the other side. And if it were possible, we are told, the very elect, the very people of God would be deceived. And all these frauds will come up. That's what we are told. As Christ says in Matthew 24:24, false Christs, and false teachers, false prophets. But that passes. That's the flu. The people who are God's remain. So you see the fall, the reformation, the restoration, the prophecies, the performance by the Messiah, the magnificent performance, the opening up of the Gentiles, a couple thousand years, all these various empires and fallings and follies. And then the return of Christ, the resurrection, the judgment. How blessed is this which comes. Isaiah 26:19 is a lovely place to come at such a stage. Isaiah 26. Verse 19, your dead shall live, my dead body they shall arise. The body of Christ is likened to, the church is likened to the body of Christ with its various members. So my dead body, with Christ arising after crucifixion, there is the guarantee that all the Christians will arise likely, similarly like his dead body. My dead body, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. You have already passed on in Christ. For your dew is like the dew of herbs. And the earth shall cast out its dead. Faithful and true is the name of Christ that we see. As we study these matters in the book of Revelation, faithful and true. Faithfulness. Without faithfulness, what is a friend? What is an ally? Without power, what is a present? But the presence and the power and the faithfulness and the performance of Christ bring a peace which passes all understanding. until now that it is the latter days and the Jews are back in Jerusalem and this near sign is present, we look for his coming, the final repulse of the invasive powers, the glorious coming of Christ. One shall be taken, one shall be left, but none shall be left that have been taken already through the gospel of Christ to him. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for the power of God. How glorious it is. We are told there will be a form of godliness, but without its power. So how splendid is thy power, whether in creation, magnificent as it is, though cursed, of course, or in resurrection. What a wonder to look forward to, based on the experimental fact of the transforming Christ who arose from the dead and brought in the time of the Gentiles. Now, O Lord, as we approach the end, the coming of Christ, we thank thee with all gravity, with all depth, with all joy, for the peace which passes all understanding, through Jesus Christ. Amen.